Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the OceanaGold 2017 first quarter results webcast and conference call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on April 27th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jeffrey Sansom. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to OceanaGold's first quarter 2017 financial and operational results call and webcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Jeffrey Sansom from the Investor Relations team at OceanaGold. On the call with me today in Melbourne are Mick Wilkes, President and CEO, Mark Chamberlain, Chief Financial Officer, Michael Holmes, Chief Operating Officer, Craig Freebury, Executive Vice President of Exploration, and Edward Zitwoon, the Corporate Controller. In Vancouver, we have Darren Klink, Executive Vice President of Business Development, and in Toronto, Sam Pazuki, Director of Investor Relations. Before we proceed, note that all references in the presentation that you are about to hear adhere to international financial reporting standards, and all financial figures are denominated in US dollars unless otherwise stated. Also note that the presentation contains forward-looking statements, which, by their very nature, are subject to some degree of uncertainty. I now turn it over to Mick Wilkes to begin the presentation.
Thanks, Jeff, and good morning and good evening to everybody, and welcome to our first quarter presentation. I'd just like to start off by mentioning my colleagues Michael Holmes and Craig Feebury joining me today as part of a new format for Oceana to introduce the market to more of the executives within the company. So we hope to get to know more of the team as time progresses. So welcome, Michael and Craig. We had a very strong quarter. Moving to page number four, we had a very strong quarter of production, a good start to the year, almost 150,000 ounces produced and 114,000 ounces sold. The 150,000 ounces includes 20,000 ounces approximately of production out of Haile, and the sales are not recorded in the Haile gold mine sales are not recorded in those sales figures operations. Revenue $162 million and EBITDA record for the company of $101 million, leading to a net profit, a statutory profit of $36 million for the quarter. Still quite healthy even after a $17.7 million impairment due to the events in El Salvador. We've taken that impairment, but before impairment, we had a net profit of $53.7 million. Cash in the bank of over $70 million and net debt of $262 million. So still a strong balance sheet and a good position for growth, which we are progressing at pace. The commissioning of Haile is going well. I can talk a bit more about that. And, of course, a very extensive exploration program and engineering studies to advance our organic growth opportunities, particularly at Haile and at Waihi. Moving to page five, some breakdown there. Compared to the previous quarter, production up 44%, copper production up 58%, all-in sustaining costs down 18% to 521, which is below our guidance for the full year, so that's a good start. And the main contributors, as you can see on the right-hand side in the graph, Didipio had an exceptional quarter, up 32,000 ounces this quarter, and obviously Haile, with the startup there, added to our production of 148,000 ounces for the quarter. Page number six, just highlighting the very strong business that we are running. EBITDA margin, exceptional, up over 60%, but continued consistent strong positive performance in EBITDA margin and also return on invested capital. We have been able to have a positive return on invested capital for the last 7 years, and it's forecast to be close to 19% this year. Moving on to safety, we have had an increased focus on safety to get us heading back in the right direction. We're still performing relatively well in this area, but we would always like to do better. We have increased the engagement of our senior leadership team, one-on-one safety engagement observations and workplace inspections, and what we call the gold standard. This is designed to improve behaviours across our workforce, and we're also enhancing investigations to learn more about the major hazards in our business, and of course integrating our systems across the whole company. So there is a big push on safety within the business at the moment to get us heading back in the right direction. Moving on to hail, page number 8, and I'm pleased to say that commissioning is progressing very well. We are still on track for hitting commercial production this quarter. We did produce just over 20,000 ounces, 20,798 ounces, and I think the gold sales for the quarter was around about 12,000 ounces. The operation is now being run by, the process plant is now being run by the operations team, and all construction is complete and commissioning team have handed over and they've moved. There are a few people on site just assisting the operations with the ramp up. We have outlined there the major criteria for our assessment of commercial production, and most of those have been met. We are looking now at our cost and recovery and throughput measures and looking for stability in the circuit before we announce commercial production. But all things considered, it's going as planned. And on page number 9, you can see the graph showing the ramp up in a comparison with the successful ramp up at Didipio in terms of percent nameplate throughput. You see that we've hit the 80% of throughput in the process plant. Recovery is in line with plan. We're fine-tuning the circuit to continue to increase throughput, and we should be announcing commercial production in the next month or two. So that's all going well, and look forward to further updates over the next couple of months. The page number 10, just a quick comment about the mining. It's ahead of plan. The picture you can see on page number 10 is a picture of the open pit. We're at the mill zone, where we do have the majority of the base of that ore, that pit is in ore, and as a result we've moved over to the snake pit to commence the stripping. We've got plenty of ore stockpiled at good grade, ready for processing. The optimisation study, which is nearing completion, is on track to be released in the next couple of months, at the middle of this year, and we'll be able to update the market on the resources and reserves from the optimisation study and a revised production profile, which should be you should be very pleased with. I'll now hand over to Michael Holmes, our Chief Operating Officer, to give you an update on our operations. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Mick, and good morning, good evening to everybody. As Mick has noted, so on slide 11 with Didipio Operations Overview, as has been noted, we had a record quarter at Didipio, producing 62,748 ounces of gold and 5,955 tonnes of copper. And that's been based on the higher grades of the out of the pit at 2.1 grams per tonne gold and 62% copper due to mining from the bottom of the pit. It's also been based on the increased milk throughput of 1.01 million tonnes for the quarter, and that's as a result of the softer, higher grade ore being fed from the section at the bottom of the pit, and there has been no extended plant maintenance this quarter, as has happened in the previous quarter last year. And this has resulted in an all-in sustaining cost for the quarter of negative $105 per ounce sold from the gold and copper sales. Heading on to the next slide, we are transitioning into the underground mine with the completion of the Didipio open pit during quarter two 2017. At the time of completion of the open pit, we will have 24 million tonnes of ore stockpiled on the surface stockpiles at the grade of 0.54 grams per tonne gold and 0.37% copper average grade. The underground transitioning will continue with the mining of the decline and the access to the stope mining blocks, and the first stope being expected to be produced by the end of this year, 2017, and into 2017 onwards. When you look at the graph on the right-hand side, you can see the transition from the open pit ore with the bottom blue to the darker brown areas, and an increase in throughput from the underground over the next 3 years, getting up to 1.6 million tonnes per annum. It's expected that the production from gold production profile from Didipio will be stronger in the first half compared with the second half, with quarter four being the weakest quarter. Going on to the next slide, slide 13, just an update with the Philippines and the operations continuing. We are still receiving some global CSR awards, the Summit Awards, where we received the top award for the best workplace practices, second place for the environmental excellence, and third place for best community program. So that was very humbling to receive those awards. During the process of the quarter, the appeal process with the government and the Department of Environment and Natural Resources continued, where we submitted our documentation within the 30-day time frame to the Office of the President, at which time we are waiting for the Office of the President to review those documents and make their decisions, during which the Mining Industry Coordinating Council has been mandated to review the DENR closure and suspension orders, and that has been committed to complete this review within 3 months of the 1st of April 2017. Another exciting opportunity, and certainly for us, is that following the awarding of the presidential award last year, we have been nominated to represent the Philippines by the Mines and Geosciences Bureau for the best mineral processing plant at the first ever Asian Mineral Awards as well. So looking forward to attending that event. Going on to the next slide, slide 14, which is the Waihi operations overview. The gold production for the quarter was down at 25,860 ounces with an increase in the all-in sustaining cost, and that's due to some extended maintenance of equipment that we have and some scheduling of some mining blocks, as well as some increased waste development from development drives, which you can see there on the table on the right-hand side. The focus for Waihi continues with the mining in Corenzo, Daybreak and Christina veins, and the program of looking at advancing the Martha project and the exploration programs, which will be discussed by Craig Feebrey, continues. We look at the next slide, which is the Macraes, slide 15, which is the Macraes operations overview. Again, production was in line with expectations at 38,550 ounces, which is down a bit on the previous quarter. The all-in sustaining costs are up on the previous quarter. Production from the mine in the open pit was decreased due to some lower mill feed from some planned maintenance that we had through the year in an autoclave shutdown. We actually had got some harder ore from the Coronation pit and saw some lower recoveries. This is not expected to continue, and we will be having a stronger second quarter and a stronger second half production is expected with the commencement of the Coronation North open pit mine, which has been approved and commenced at the beginning of before Easter. We continue with the organic exploration growth there, and we have good targets, which now I'll hand over to the Executive Vice President of Exploration, Craig Freeby, to discuss. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Good morning and evening, everyone. Looking at slide 15, on a consolidated basis, reserves stand at 5 million ounces of silver and 180,000 tonnes of copper, with a significant resource base and growing project pipeline as a result of increased drilling. Importantly, we haven't included any changes for Haile based on the large amount of drilling we completed in 2016, which is continuing through 2017, and studies that are ongoing. This work will be completed and reported around mid-year, as Mick mentioned, something that we're certainly looking forward to sharing with the market. Importantly, exploration made a significant contribution to ounce addition, replacing reserves at Macraes and significantly offsetting depletion at Waihi. Further, total resources, that's measured, indicated and inferred, increased at Waihi, which reflects in part our increasing appreciation of the potential for resource growth at Waihi in general and the Martha project in particular. Slide 16. Staying with Waihi, exploration continues to unlock value. This is clear when we consider we continue to increase the resource base, as shown here, from 360,000 ounces as December 2014 through to 570,000 ounces as December 2016, while maintaining our production profile, approximately 300,000 ounces over the 2 years. Slide 17. Excuse me. And we continue investing in the future of Waihi through exploration, as we're doing across all of our sites in general. The figure shown here, looking to the west, highlights the Waihi mine infrastructure. In particular, I'd like to draw your attention to the Martha pit in brown. The main veins of Martha, Empire, Royal, Edward and Welcome that extend immediately below the pit that represent the Martha project. The Martha project is a 1 million ounce exploration target that we're confident has the potential to significantly increase the life of mine. And then the two exploration drives in the centre of that figure that extend from the Daybreak infrastructure, we commenced last year to effectively test and drill the Martha target. As highlighted on the right of the slide, drill drive one is approximately 58% complete, and we plan to drill approximately 12,000 metres, if not more, from this location in the latter half of 2017, while the other drive will be completed towards the end of the year, at which time we also hope to commence drilling from that location. Altogether we've planned over 40,000 metres of drilling in 2017 to significantly increase the resource base of Waihi and expose ourselves to the pipeline of opportunities, both brownfields and greenfields. Slide 18. Macraes is another example of where exploration continues to unlock value. The figure on the right is an aerial view of the major north-south striking Hyde-Macraes shear zone, which is host to the 10 deposits that have delivered over 4 million ounces of production to date and which we continue to make discoveries. Coronation North, to the top of the figure on the right, is the latest discovery, where the resource is approaching 500,000 ounces of total resource and has been brought into commission from discovery hole to mining in just a few short years. Keep in mind that this is a new discovery after 25 years of exploration and over 4 million ounces of production to date. We continue to drill extensions here in the first quarter of 2017, along with Nuns in the top of the figure, where a small resource is being defined. Extensions to both Coronation Pit and Golden Point are shown on the figure to the left. Results to date from Golden Point are encouraging with both good width and grade. Exploration continues here, testing the down dip extension to the east. In addition to these areas of drilling, the other targets highlighted in the figure on the right will be advanced during the year, where we've also planned over 40,000 metres of drilling in 2017. So I'll hand over to Mark Chamberlain now.
Thank you, Craig, and good morning and good evening as well. I'm turning to slide page 20. The banner says it all. The strong financial performance continues during this period of growth for us. Revenue was up quarter on quarter, some 10% to $162 million. The drivers being the increase in gold sales, an 8% increase from the previous quarter, driven by the contribution, strong contribution from Didipio, and also an initial contribution from Haile of some 12,200 ounces. And also a higher gold price, a 5% higher gold price. EBITDA, again strong, $102 odd million compared to $67 million in the previous quarter. If I take out the impact of the sale of the 2.5 million shares in GSV, that figure is $96.3 million. So that's driven by the higher revenue, but very pleasingly, and congratulations to our operations, also from the, having the focus on lowering operating costs, which were some 10% less than the previous quarter. Net profit, the figure there, $53.7 million. That is before an impairment of some $17 million. And that impairment relates to our investment in El Salvador, which is now completely off the books. So net profit was up before the impairment some 26%. Impacting it was the higher revenue, but it was also offset by the unrealized loss on a mark-to-market basis of our hedges in gold and oil. We saw a higher gold price and a lower oil price, which impacted on that. caused that unrealized loss. At the bottom there, we see a number of the drivers. Gold price up some 5%, copper price is up 11%, gold sales up 8%, and copper sales down 16% in line with the sequencing at the Didipio. Moving to the next page, which is from the cash flow statement. The operating cash flow was $52 million, up from $31.6 million. To give a clearer understanding of that, we've taken out the working capital figures, and that shows that for the first quarter it was $93.1 million compared to $67 million in Q4 of 16. That's a 39% increase in the operating cash flow. On the investing cash flow, that's down from the some 100 odd million that we saw in Q4 down to 66 million, as would be expected as we bring Hale in to commissioning. And then lastly there was a financing cash flow of $10 million, driven mainly by a drawdown of $12 million from our credit facility. Moving to slide 22, we've set out there our CapEx spend for the quarter. There was a 41% reduction in the CapEx spend quarter on quarter. Looking at that top donut, total CapEx there of $83 odd million, of which the biggest component clearly is Hale, $47.3 million. Just note that that figure is before we have capitalised revenue on those ounces that have been sold and paid to us, which was some $11.3 million. The second biggest contribution came from Didipio, and that's primarily driven by the underground project there. And then Macraes and Waihi contributing about 17 million. We've got there the figures for sustaining the break up there, which is 7.9 million for the quarter, and exploration 6.6 million for the quarter, of which 80% was spent at Haile and Waihi. So just looking at the Haile capex again, the 47.3 million, that included capitalised operating costs of 16 odd million. We haven't included the sales revenue there of 11.3 million. And we will do a final reconciliations of costs after commercial production is declared there, which is expected in this quarter. Moving on to page 23, where we set out the balance sheet position. Total liquidity at the end of the first quarter was sitting at 96 million, of which 70.6 million was in cash. Just highlight there, we do have 90 odd million in marketable securities, primarily in our investment in GSV and New Legacy. And our undrawn facility, we have a revolving facility of some 300 million at that date, of which 15 million was undrawn. That leaves us with total debt of 332 million, mainly comprised of the revolving facility, but also 48 million in equipment leases, and a net debt figure of 262 million, which is relatively low given the phase we are in of completing a major growth. Overall, that leaves us with a net debt EBITDA of 0.3, a very comfortable position for us. I'd like to now hand back to Mick, who will talk about the catalysts for the company going forward.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks, Craig and Michael. So we've got some very, very exciting catalysts coming up this year, commencing with the commercial production expected in this quarter for Haile, the ramp up of production at Haile to achieve 3 million tonne by the end of this year, which, as I'll remind you, is the limit of our current permit, and the optimisation study for Haile, the results of that will be released mid-year as well. After which we then expect to start the permitting process to take the Haile project up to a permit of around 4 million tonnes per annum. In early June, we've got the quarterly index rebalance for the GDXJ, which the analyst forecast is that will have create a very strong demand for our shares at that time. Later in June, we've got an investor day in, we'll be all in Toronto and holding a webcast similar to what we did last year, where you'll be able to get more detailed information on the operations, the exploration and the development projects from the executive group. In early July, we've got new site visits to New Zealand, see the progress that's being made, particularly at our Waihi mine with underground development and future production opportunities. And similarly at Macraes, and then, of course, Q2 results at the end of July. For Waihi, I should add that we will commence the permitting for the Martha project, which is to extend the mine life at Waihi in the second half of this year. So with that, I'll hand it back to Geoffrey.
Thanks, Mick. At this time, we'll open the line to take questions. For those of you who are seeking to ask questions, we'll be taking them through the telephone only. We'll now pause for a few moments while we wait for callers to queue, and I'll turn the call over to the operator to assist with facilitating this process.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Michael Gray from Macquarie. Michael, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and thanks for taking my question. I've got three on Haile and then one on Waihi. At Hale, how is the geological model reconciled to date in terms of tons, grade, and ounces, in particular in the fresh rock?
There's been positive to date. No surprises. If anything, it's been up on the grade and tons as well. But it's too early to project that forward, Michael. But just suffice to say that it's been properly modelled.
Okay. And what proportion of the Q1 Hale feed was oxide versus sulfide, if you have that breakdown, and what were the respective recoveries?
I don't have the exact details on relative recoveries, but it's about half oxide and half sulfide for the quarter. And, of course, we're treating all sulfides at the moment.
Okay, thanks for that. And in terms of commissioning and optimization of the process plant, what are the key areas you're focused on in the second quarter? And the key areas to be de-bottlenecked?
We are just ramping up, and the key focus is continuity of the circuit and ramping up the throughput. So we should hit about 100% of nameplate by the end of the second quarter or early in the third quarter. And, bottlenecks appear throughout the circuit, whether it's the thickeners or the fine grinding circuit or the flotation circuit. And they're just minor tweaks here and there as we improve the process model.
Okay, thanks. And finally, question for Craig at Waihi. Just can you give us an update on the status of synthesizing all the legacy data and progress in identifying new targets, in particular the Carenzo vein orientation, which seems to be very anomalous, and you know, what role has Oriented Core played in trying to nail down new orientations?
Thanks. Excuse me. Thanks, Michael. Look, it's an ongoing process at Waihi. There's a lot of historic information, but we have brought that into our analysis and planning. It obviously plays a significant role in the Martha project itself. With respect to Carenzo, we understand that particular ore body well. Orientated Core is used throughout. There are no surprises, I guess, or problems as we see it. It's business as usual on Carenzo. We're getting into the deeper portions, obviously, of the deposit, and we're still intersecting good mineralization, particularly on the northern side.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate this.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Marco Slivisky from Credit Suisse. Marco, please go ahead.
I think that might be me, so I'll speak anyway. Certainly been called a lot worse on various calls. A couple of questions for me, if I please. First of all, the comment around the Coronation hard ore impact, you said most of the impact was the autoclave maintenance, but harder ore wasn't the impact, but you didn't expect it to be a feature of future. Why not, when it's going to be a larger portion of your feed?
Michael, could you address that question of SLIFOs, please?
Certainly. SLIFO, it's been a combination. We've got Coronation North or Frim phrases in its mills as well as underground as the blend through. So it was the proportions of blend, but also going forward, we'll be starting up the new Coronation North project. So we believe that with that blend and all, the hardness should come down.
Okay, thank you. Secondly, with respect to the partial sale of the GSV investment, what's all that about? I guess if I look at your balance sheet, I can see how you state it strong, but from a liquidity perspective, it looks like cash was getting a little bit tight, the revolver pretty fully drawn. Was that a liquidity-driven decision, or was there something else behind it, and why only a partial sale?
Thanks, Michael. Well, look, it was just an opportunity in the market whereby GSV actually entered into the GDX index in New York, the VanEck index. And so it was a liquidity event The share price was running very hot, and we've decided to sell into that liquidity event. Our strategy for GSV remains the same. It is a strategic investment for us, and it wasn't a liquidity concern on our part. We have plenty of liquidity in the company, but it was just an opportunity that was created by the market at the time.
Okay, I think I understand that. Thirdly, with respect to the Martha project, that 1 million ounce prize that you're trying to extract, how's your thinking changing with respect to what might be extracted from a open pit and modest cutback versus versus underground? And or is it too early? Does the drilling need to be completed before we can actually see whether there is a more substantial underground opportunity, perhaps easing the permitting challenges?
It's still around about a 70% underground, 30% open pit plan. Obviously the open pit is restricted by the infrastructure and the township, so it's fairly clear as to what size that would be. And the underground is being proved up from the drilling, so I don't envisage anything different to what we've given you before.
Okay, thank you. And two more. Comment about Hale, the 4 million tonne permit application, just want to be clear, that 4 million tonne, they're US tonnes, they're not metric tonnes, are they?
No, they are metric tonnes.
They're metric tonnes. Okay, but the existing tonnes you talk about are imperial tonnes or metric tonnes? I get very confused. You seem to speak sort of both languages.
No, we don't speak both languages. We speak one language, Marco. And all the numbers we use are metric tonnes for our reporting. And so the nameplate capacity of Hale is 2.3 million metric tonnes. The permit allows us to go to 3 million metric tonnes, and we're seeking to permit to go to 4 million metric tonnes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And finally, with respect to your guidance for Didipio, I find it somewhat confusing. So you're saying that a midpoint of expectation this year is 120,000. You expect to do more ounces in the first half than the second half, and you've already done more ounces in the first quarter than that what's implied by midpoint guidance. You're saying that there's 3.5 million tonnes of throughput expected, and you've done one of the 3.5 already. So how do we put all that together? The maths doesn't sort of make logical sense.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't multiply it by four, Michael. I know you know that. But we are obviously producing very, very well there. We'll probably update guidance for Didipio at the end of the second quarter. But we're tracking to exceed guidance at Didipio. And guidance for the full year will remain the same at this stage.
Okay. Terrific, Wilsey. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Michael. Marco.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jeff Killeen from CIBC. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the time today. Just wanted to get a sense on the general scope or the general outlook for this year. It seems to have changed from where you were at the end of Q4. I believe at the end of Q4 you had put in your outlook that you would expect the second half of the production to be higher than the first half and that Q3 would be the strongest quarter. Now we're seeing today it seems like that's changed to be more of a flat profile over the year. So wondering, is this exclusively driven by a change in plan at Didipio? And secondly to that, I'm getting the sense that you're consciously speeding up the open pit at Didipio. Is that fair to say?
We had planned to spread out production at Didipio throughout the year, but given the events there, we've preferentially treated higher grade from the open pit and just showing what potential that operation has. But of course, with the open pit shutting down this quarter, we're not going to see the same levels of production in the second half of the year. It does, however, bode well for the start-up of underground. You see the similar grades coming through from the underground mine in 2018 and then very strongly in 2019 and beyond. So, it is an indication of what you can expect in years to come
albeit somewhat lumpy.
Okay, so would you be able to give us a bit more clarity on the second half then from Didipio? You did give us the stockpile numbers in terms of the absolute numbers. I think the grade is just around a half a gram a ton. Is that a type of grade we should expect in the second half, or do you think it'll be sort of a slow taper down from where we are in Q2 towards that number in 2018?
I think a taper would be warranted, but I'd rather defer that guidance until the end of this quarter.
Okay, great then. In terms of switching to Waihi, apologize if I missed this, but the equipment issues that you had in Q1, have those effectively been worked out? And if not, is there any other incremental spend that you see with associated with that?
Equipment is related to loader availability. We did have a loader that was buried in a stope, which was recovered and is now repaired. So we expect that to we've overcome that, and we are sending one of our loaders, a spare loader from the Didipio, down to as a backup at Waihi. So that's a work in progress.
Okay. Then lastly for me, I believe in the fourth quarter there was the $8 million payment that you were required to make in El Salvador. I just wasn't sure if that had actually been made yet, or is that something yet to come?
We're following the process set by the arbitration, and we're just in discussions with the government now to make that payment in the near future.
Okay, great. And then, apologies, one more from me. Just in terms of the outstanding balance on the revolver, what are your plans for what that balance would look like over the course of this year? Stay flat through Q2 and then start to be repaid through the second half? Or any insight there?
The revolver reduces from $300 million to $200 million at the end of the year. So that's effectively some $82 million repayment during the year, and the cash flow looks good to do that.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for your time. That's it for me.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Thompson from Raymond James. Chris, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple of questions here. We'll just start off with Hale, first of all, and apologies if I missed it. Could you give me just the tons and the grade that you processed at Hale just to deliver the production that you quoted?
We haven't provided the tons and the grade for the quarter at Hale because we're in the commissioning process. But it is in line, so we've hit 80% throughput in 80% of nameplate. You work it out from that that graph, and the grade is in line with plan, so it's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 grams.
Okay, thanks for that, Mick.
80% throughput nameplate in March, which I don't know what that is in numbers. 2.3 divided by 12 by 80%.
All right. Just obviously you're ahead of plan, I guess, by way of your mining. Obviously transitioning over right now to the Snake Pit. Can we anticipate an adjustment in the an open pit mine plan? Based on this?
No. I don't anticipate that to be the case. It's just an opportunity to keep the trucks busy, getting ahead of the game on the pre-strip at the Snake Pit and giving us an alternative ore source earlier in the piece, which will help us with our production profile.
Okay, thanks for that. And just apologies again, I might have missed it, but how much of the initial CapEx has been spent to date at Hale?
All of it's been committed. There's about $10 million of cash to be paid this quarter to finalise contracts and the like.
All right, perfect. Thanks. And just moving on quickly to Didipio, you guys released some pretty impressive exploration results about a month ago from the deep drilling there. Can you give us a sense of how that compares with your block models?
I'll let Craig answer that. Craig?
Yeah, thank you. Chris, Look, the drilling is ongoing there. We're drilling, well, we did drill three holes to test the extensions under the current mine plan. You would have seen those in the press release. We intersected mineralization in those holes. The other drilling that's going on from the underground development, we have three rigs drilling there, and they're all drilling or getting results that compare very well with the block model. So no surprises. It is, you know, variable, but it's in line with our expectations.
Okay, thanks. And then finally, just Waihi, final question, guys. Just you mentioned that you're stoping, I guess, at Daybreak right now, and you're producing from Carenza. Can you give us a sense of when we can see first production from Empire and Christina, and how should we model, I guess, the production as components of mill feed for these deposits?
Michael, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, certainly. We're still, I suppose, with the extensions of the ore bodies, haven't sort of met the end of the ore bodies in the lower levels, and the way that we actually produce from these stopes is sort of from the outside bottom up. So until we actually sort of meet those extremities, then we won't be starting that. But that will then be replaced by some of the stoping blocks that we're doing in Carenza.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks again. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Geordie Mark from Haywood Securities. Geordie, please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Mick, Mark, Mike. Just maybe perhaps to, yeah, good quarter, by the way, fantastic performance to Didipio and the other mines. Maybe perhaps to belabor a point at Didipio. I guess you, with the 1 million produced, you've got 2.5 left on the production ceiling for the year. How should we treat sort of production for the remaining three quarters on a throughput rate basis? Any particular periods there where you would weighted downtime? And particularly on the cessation of open pit mining, and maybe an extension of Jeff's question earlier, any variability in the stockpiles that you have there, where you would pick any higher grade material within that 0.54 grade material for H2 that we could lean on in our projections?
First of all, the stockpile is harder, so we won't be getting, you know, 1 million ton per quarter through the process plant in the second half of the year. I would suggest that you model for average grade from that stockpile in the second half of the year. It is possible to choose some higher grade sections, but I don't think we should get into that level of detail about where the stockpile, how it would be divvied up. The throughput rate is limited by the permit that we have. So we have an application with the government to increase that throughput to over 4 million tonnes a year. But at this stage, we're still planning, well, we're still modelling to put through 3.5 million tonnes, but we are still expecting to get that approval for the increase in the second half of this year. So, but for the time being, we'll leave it at 3.5. And, the throughput rate on that stockpile feed would be, I don't know, so 700,000 tonnes a quarter, thereabouts.
Okay, thanks, mate. Maybe just to follow up on underground development, what level is I guess, your decline advance now, and how many more metres of development do you need, I guess, by the end of the year to get that first ore to the plant?
It will be at the bottom of the upper levels, where the third pump station will go in probably by the end of the second quarter. And then once the pump station is established, we'll be able to start cross-cutting into the ore body to start stope production, which is currently still planned to occur at the end of this year. It could happen a bit sooner, but we're not basically it's on track.
Thank you. And one final question on Hale. Perhaps if we look at the post-commercial production anticipated gold recoveries, what gold recovery would you look to stabilise at by the end of the year, I guess at a 3 million tonne per annum metric rate, and what average recovery are you projecting for the year in commercial production? And I'll leave it there. Thanks.
I don't know what the average is for the year, but I think 75 to 80% recovery for the full year, and nameplate recovery of 84% beyond that.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jordy.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Russell Smith from Ostra Investments. Russell, please go ahead.
Good morning, Mick and others. Trying to work out if the what is the total El Salvador exposure, including the $18 million impairment write-off and including the $8 million costs awarded to the government, and whether the total can be expected to be recovered from future sale of the business, tenements and property, etc.
Thanks for that question, Russell. Yeah, we expensed the $8 million payment last year as part of our full year results. So that was done in the fourth quarter. And the 17.7 is what was on the books for the purchase of the asset, which was done predominantly in shares but some cash a number of years ago. In terms of future sale, obviously we still have the land there, we still have all the data, and we still have all the core, and we would hope at some point that the government or others would want to develop the project, so we remain interested in that option.
Thanks for that. We'll look forward to hearing what the strategy is going to be there. Philippines, congratulations on your three awards. That's always terrific and not easy to achieve. I'm just wondering, how are you dealing with the individual claims for perceived damages, given that all your excellent work for the majority doesn't seem to negate the individual claims and compensate them, and that often the noisy few get the attention of government?
Well, we have a grievance process on site to deal with individual claims, and that's the case with any mine site. The claims you're referring to, I'm not really clear about that, but I assume that what you're referring to ones that the government has identified, namely apparently damage to a house due to blasting. But that was proven to be not caused by the mine, and it was due to faulty construction, which is not uncommon in a lot of places. So we didn't have to pay compensation for that particular incident, and that is another example of untruths and misinformation that is being spread by other parties that don't have a vested interest in the operation. So I think we just need to continue to be open and transparent about the operation, and people coming to site can see how good it is. And the awards that we're getting continue to demonstrate the quality. I should add that latest CSR award that we received, the Global CSR Summit, was not just for mining but for other sectors as well, so communications, construction industry, and other sectors. So to receive the Best Workplace Award against those other sectors, and this is in Southeast Asia at least, is quite a quite a good thing, quite a significant thing. And the other thing is being recognised by the NGV as being put up for the ASEAN Mineral Awards, being the representative from the Philippines, is also very significant. And I think it further demonstrates that what's happening in the Philippines is not, in the negative stuff that's happening in the Philippines, is not the government acting in unison. It is an individual and her supporters acting unilaterally. And until that issue is resolved, I think we're still going to see some noise coming out of the Philippines. And unfortunately, some negative news, which is not necessarily factual.
Yes, congratulations to you, Mick, once again. You've led the way and you're held up as one of the world's best mining companies from safety. It is noticed now that OceanaGold always puts safety matters first and foremost. This has been pointed out to other companies in Australia that recently have experienced seismic disruption and have commented on safety matters last of all. So you're a shining light to many others and frequently held up as that. My third area, and I apologise if I missed this, but just wondering about total hedging exposure.
I'll let Mark answer that. Yeah, thanks.
They're unrealised losses that you saw in the P&L this time. We have to mark to mark the hedging, outstanding hedging. The only hedging we have left was that was done for Macraes and Frog, which finalises at the end of, comes to the end of this year, and that was done at a time when we were concerned that operation we didn't want it to bleed against the gains we were seeing at Didipio. So that hedging finishes at the end of this year. The other hedging we have is we did on oil when the price was down at $30. Last quarter, we had a mark-to-market gain as the oil price went up. This time the oil price has dropped down a little bit and therefore we've had to write it back. But overall that hedge is in the money on the oil side. That also concludes at the end of this year, at the end of 17.
Very pleased to hear their ending. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
That concludes the presentation for today. On behalf of the team at OceanaGold, I'd like to thank you for your interest and participation. And should you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us directly. Thank you and bye.